since you've been at the helm, it's definitely been tumultuous at times with several Front Range communities voting to ban fracking. We've had industry lawsuits, proposed ballot initiatives, new rules to govern energy extraction. For you, what's been the biggest challenge?
I think the fact that the industry needs to be in a state of constant evolution, and we're in an environment that's constantly changing. So the expectations of communities have shifted radically over 5 years, and industry has adapted to meet those, but it's continuous. About every 6 months, I've had to completely rewrite my business plan to make sure that we're broadening our group of stakeholders and addressing the concerns that are top of mind at that moment.
There's a lot of people out there who just do not feel comfortable with fracking, don't feel it's safe, don't want it in your communities. What do you tell those people, and how do you bridge that divide?
The first and most important thing is to really be listening and learning about those concerns, because they shift and they vary based on where you are and what your experience with oil and gas is. And then I think it's important to draw on the 150-year history we have, where we've gone through tumultuous phases. We've had various stakeholders, happy or unhappy. We've had different parts of the states with a lot of activity and then no activity, or vice versa. And so what I've really learned is that this is a conversation that will always be changing, and that it's important to keep engaging and be interested in learning about the people that are concerned.
And do you think the question of whether cities and towns should have the local ability to ban fracking, or at least have oversight over energy development, do you think it's ultimately going to go before voters at some point in a statewide ballot question?
I don't think so. I think that this is the conversation that we're having right now, this 6 months. But 5 years ago, we were talking about hydraulic fracturing disclosure. After that, we were talking about groundwater monitoring. After that, we were talking about air emissions and so on and so forth. And so I think this is the topic of interest at this moment, but the task force really spent a long time trying to figure out if there was a straightforward solution, and there isn't.
The task force recommendations, things like more health studies, more monitoring, more staff to oversee things, I mean, several years ago, that would have had a lot of industry backlash. So it seems like the goalpost has shifted.
Absolutely. And there's very little field acknowledged for how much advancement we've already made in Colorado. 5 years, 5 national precedent-setting rules, and yet each year we start anew. New challenge, new dialogue, new solution.
What finally kind of swayed you to leave the position, and are you hoping to still do something in this industry?
It's a position that is well-suited to have fresh eyes once in a while. So I feel that the time is right for me to move on, and it's the right time for someone with fresh eyes and fresh energy to come in and reinvigorate the conversation in a meaningful way.
What do you hope to see in a successor?
I hope that the organization, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and the industry continue to engage and continue to evolve. And the constant technology improvements, the continuous willingness to show up at different tables with different stakeholders and address new challenges, this is a big culture change for us. And I hope that we continue to see that kind of evolution.
That was Colorado Oil and Gas Association Executive Director Tisha Schuller. Schuller will be stepping down from that role later in May after 5 years with the industry group. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.